This is the Four Man Rush. Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another podcast of the Four Man Rush. I'm your host, Timmy VO, here with Kevin and Will. And we're going to give you the first podcast after the end of the season, and we're going to talk about that new GM up in the building. And we're going to talk a little bit about the the scenarios that could possibly happen with Deshaun Watson. And we'll also talk about, you know, not only the player personnel that would have to happen, but also his contract and the likelihood and, you know, the long-term ramifications, if we do. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff we can cover with that, man. But we're going to start with our new GM coming from the former Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks, mind you, and see how he's going to fit into the scheme of things. And, you know, just talk about Panther football, folks. You know how we do. And as always, if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. We have one of the best, if not the best, breakdown units when it comes to Carolina Panther football and the game of football as a whole. Go ahead and tell that. Run, tell that. I don't care. It's the damn truth. Anyway. So, hold on to your hats, folks. The Four Man Rush is on the scene. Kevin, what do you think about our new GM?
Yeah, well, as far as our new GM goes, he kind of found out he was a late addition. You know, when they was going through the number of total overall candidates, they originally went through like their first 12 or 13. And then after they couldn't really settle on something, they invited two more. And he was one of the last. Well, you know, like that old biblical saying, and the last shall be first. Well, clearly, that's what ended up coming to fruition here, because he was contacted on Monday, had an interview Tuesday, was on a flight to Charlotte Wednesday, and got the job on a Thursday. So talk about a 4-day turnaround. But yeah, this is the gentleman's name is Scott Fitter. You know, he's coming from the Seattle Seahawks. He's been with that organization a very, very, very long time. Started from the bottom. Now he's here. He was someone that was there even before Pete Carroll got there. So that means he was there under the tutelage of former Seahawks coach Mike Holmgren as well. Started off as a scout and just made his way up the ranks. And he worked himself to be in position to where he was the assistant right underneath the GM, vice president of football operations. And you know, the biggest attraction for him was not only his scouting background, which is something that Matt Rhule had said that that's what he wanted. While it was also saying that David Tepper wanted someone who was a little bit more analytical, which caused fans to think there was some sort of beef, which it really wasn't. You know, it's just two people bouncing out, you know, their opinions and ideas off each other, which is what happens in business. You know, you're not supposed to always agree and have the same thing. You know, you want to throw things out there and make your point. But yeah, with Scott Fitter, you know, we're getting someone who saw Pete Carroll come from successful coaching ranks at USC and build the program there in Seattle from the ground up. And I think that was one of the main points that made him a good fit, because with Matt Rhule also coming from a successful college program from the ground up, Fitter definitely, you know, knows what it takes. And from the reviews and the comments made by, you know, his employees, players, and, you know, people around the league, it seemed like, you know, we got a steal here. We got someone that's is not afraid to, you know, tell it like it is, regardless of your position. I think it was even a story where during the interview, he put Mr. Tepper in check with some sort of quote. I don't know. I have to look it up. You know, we do a roundabout of this, but he said something that Mr. Tepper said, and you got somebody to quote from somewhere. And then Fitter's like, but yeah, but you got it from this guy. And then David Tepper just kind of had a chuckle and was like, you know what? You're right. I like that. You know, So even on the interview, you know, you're not scared, you know what I'm saying, tell the truth, you know, even if it is the owner, you're not coming here to kiss ass. You're coming here to, you know, let them know that you're qualified for the job. So I like that aspect of it. But yeah, but, you know, just with his scouting background and his ability to have firsthand knowledge of seeing how, you know, a college coach transition to an NFL coach, I think it's going to be very valuable experience that can be shared throughout everybody in the front office here. And, you know, with Matt Rhule already being established here, you know, traditional people looking for GM roles kind of want their own guy. Well, it's good that that this decision was made, and it seems like from what we read from others that it's going to be a good fit. So I'm definitely looking forward to watching this process take place. And I'm excited. I'm just glad we got it out the way. And, you know, no more of them Herney shenanigans. You know, he done took that. He done took that act up 85 and 95. Look like he's about to become next GM in Washington. So the Rivera Herney show continues. So we know one thing. Washington going to nail their first round pick because they don't do nothing else. But anyway. So, but yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of moves it's going to make. You know, the Senior Bowl coming up, and, you know, it's going to be his first chance to, you know, get out with the, you know, the coaching staff and the scouts and, you know, start making his imprint. So, I'm excited.
Word. Well, what you think about my man, bro?
First, I mean, I think he has a very interesting background. I mean, he was a two-sport player in college. He play football and baseball at UCLA and baseball at LSU. Then he spent 3 years as a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. So he's been an athlete pretty much his whole life. And then, you know, aside from that, just look at his experience and background in scouting. I mean, he's been in this business since 1998 when he started with the New York Giants as just an area scout. Went to the Seattle Seahawks where he was an area scout there for 10 years. So, I mean, you're looking at two almost championship teams during that period with Mike Holmgren's Seahawks that made it to the Super Bowl and lost to the Steelers 1 year. Mm. And then he helped with the transition from Holmgren to Pete Carroll and gained a larger role within the organization during Carroll's tenure there. So I just see a guy that's got a lot of scouting experience. Seattle during that time has made a lot of great draft picks. You look at from 2011 to 2014, he was the director of college scouting for the Seahawks. Just look at some of the guys that they were able to draft during that time period on the day two, or even on the first round as well. I mean, he's got guys like Earl Thomas, like Bruce Irvin, or he can go into the later rounds. You're getting guys like Bobby Wagner, like KJ Wright. You know, Cam Chancellor was like a fifth rounder. Richard Sherman was a day three pick.
Dang.
Russell Wilson was a, third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just seeing how he was able to build this team on day two and day three of the draft. And I know he had a quote from somewhere where he talked about where everyone's always talking about the first round pick. His goal is to hit on his day two and day three picks because that's where championships are won. And that's music to my ears because I think the biggest reason Carolina has not been able to sustain back-to-back winning seasons has been the inability to find draft success in the second and third round and undrafted free agents. You know, those are your depth pieces. And everybody likes to look at the roster on paper and say, oh, our starters are so strong. You know, on paper, we look great. But your starters aren't going to stay healthy for all 16 games, and they're not going to play 100% of the reps every week. You have to have guys that can be able to step in for them when they go down, be able to spell them out and not lose performance when, you know, they need a break or get that Gatorade on the sideline or maybe have to go in the blue tent. You want guys that can step in and give you quality reps. And that's what the day two, the day three, and the undrafted free agents will give you. So if I think if he can come in and just continue to do that type of scouting for us, we can have a very successful run here. Now, there are some concerns. I know a lot of fans bring it up as well. Seattle's recent draft history hasn't been that impressive. So you saw in the early 2000s where they were able to build a championship roster in the later rounds of the draft. Last few years, there were a lot of questionable draft picks, and they weren't nearly as successful. But my response to that would be, we're not really in the war rooms with these guys. We don't really know who has final decision on who they select or how the process works or whether he was outvoted on a certain player. So it's just kind of hard to gauge, you know, who ultimately has that authority over final draft decisions. So I don't think it's fair to blame one guy for the entire, you know, bad draft picks. You know, you got to kind of think of it as an organization or as a whole making those decisions. So I just think, you know, he's a well-respected guy in the scouting community. I know Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, thinks really highly of him. The Dan Morgan, former Panther player, who he may bring on staff with him, thinks very highly of him as well. And everybody he's worked with just says he's, you know, he's a scouting junkie. He's very good at what he does. He works well with people, which was important considering Matt Rhule's going to have his input as well. So I just think all those factors combined together made it a great fit with this organization. But what from a, you know, what you just have to look at from what David Tepper's doing for this team that I think goes unnoticed. Look at how he's built this front office. You know, now you got Pat Fitterer as your GM, you know, overseeing scouting, primarily a scouting guy and football operations guy. You got Samir Suleiman, who's your director of salary cap and player negotiations. So now these guys can focus exclusively on scouting and finding talent and just leave it up to Samir Suleiman to negotiate their contracts. They don't have to dip their hands in that aspect of the front office. So you're allowing them to do what they do best. And then below Scott Fitterer, now you got Pat Stewart still here, who has championship experience with New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to be your pro scouting guy. You know, he was able to bring in Rasul Douglas last minute to help with that Band-Aid at the cornerback position, and Rasul played well early on in the season. Then you have Jeff Morrow still here, who still, you know, oversees his college scouting. He's one of the most well-respected scouting minds in the league as well. You also have who else was I thinking of? I mean, we got Luke Kuechly as a pro scout, still learning the ropes from these guys. So between Stewart and Morrow and Fitterer, you know, Luke's going to do his thing. Matt Rhule and his guys will have their input. I think you have a well-rounded front office from scouting and cap negotiations now. So it's just hard to – I know you don't want to project now and say that, you know, you're not going to – we're going to be like the next Buffalo Bills or Indianapolis Colts in a few years and start seeing more consistently making the playoffs. But I think – you're starting to see that foundation come together in the front office. Now they just have to execute their plan, get some talent in this building, develop it, and let's start to win some football games and sustain success.
That would be lovely. Because as you guys mentioned, consistent success with this franchise, it's something we never had the luxury of having, really, man. I mean, it's sad. It really is. Because we've had some really, really talented teams and talented players that come through them, come through those doors, man, and we just couldn't keep it together, Herney. but, dude, I mean, folks, did you not hear who this man was behind in terms of drafting? Cam Chancellor, Russell Wilson. I mean, those two guys basically was the catalyst of getting Seattle – or one, at least one of those Super Bowl rings. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and on top of that, Tim, you was talking about, you know, consistent winning. You know, and I hate saying it, but just let our fans not forget, out of 32 teams in the NFL, we're still the only franchise that's never had back-to-back winning seasons above 500. So for all that crap, we could talk about teams losing like the Jets, used to say the Browns, Jaguars. I mean, you know, any team that you want to pick on, they've done something that we have yet to do.
Yet.
So
we came in the league the same years as the Jags.
Right, exactly. So, you know, to say that we've never had two seasons back to back with at least 9 wins, I mean, like, folks, what are y'all holding on to when it comes to, you know, these changes? It's like mediocrity has been beaten to us so much that it seems foreign to expect better. mm-hmm. you know. But I'm along for the ride, and you know, I said when Rue got hired around this time last year, he got the year three to start putting some results on the field. Like I said, the first 2 years, I know it's gonna be a transition. Like I say, front office players and things of that nature. Obviously, the pandemic was thrown in to, you know, which could still possibly affect the upcoming offseason. We don't know.
That's true.
How that's going to be. It could be the same way again, mm-hmm. you know, depending on it, since we done, you know, crossed over, what, 400,000 dead now? So, I mean,
yeah, that's right.
States locking back down. So, shit, you know, we could be looking at another virtual offseason and all that stuff again. So.
Yeah,
you know, we just gotta have patience, you know, and trust this process. But we definitely got the I think we definitely got the right front office now to where everybody's not overly burdened, you know, because for all the junk that we give Herney, you know, he was in charge of a lot because Mr. Richardson didn't, you know, have a lot of staff. You know, Herney was in charge of not only scouting rookies but pro and doing the contracts. You know, now the GM got three people below him that's going to be doing each one of those individually. So I just think it allowed, you know, people to really focus on what they do best.
Right. Accuracy, precision.
Right. You talk about the Panthers have had no back-to-back winning seasons, but look at the people who they hire and what they're used to. I mean, Samir Suleiman is with Pittsburgh, who's probably one of the class organizations in not only football, sports, period. Mm-hmm. You got Pat Stewart comes from New England. And then Philadelphia, where he won a Super Bowl there. Now you're bringing a guy from Seattle who's made the playoffs 8 out of 9 of the last 9 seasons. And during that time span, their worst record was 9-7. So these guys that they're hiring and bringing in, they've had back-to-back winning seasons. They've won championships. They've done all of that. So I think when you talk about establishing a culture, you know, Matt Rule's trying to do it on the field level, but I think bringing guys with championship pedigrees and have sustained success and been a part of organizations that are what we want to become, that's also the first step in the process of trying to establish that culture and lay that foundation. And it's not going to see results overnight. I understand that. You know, I'm not expecting us to make a deep playoff run in 2021. But I think what I am looking forward to is just having a competent, you know, well-rounded staff in place that can acquire and develop talent that will allow us to, once we get back to the playoffs, we're going to keep getting back. And we're going to keep getting there, keep making runs. We may lose a couple playoff games, but we're just going to give ourselves more and more of a chance, more cracks at the apple, and eventually one year we'll break through and finally get that ring.
Mm. That's what I can't wait to see, bro. Real talk. Real talk. Now, I mean... Now, some people say that we don't have the pieces in place to make a strong playoff run. And apparently some people are willing, if they had anything to do with it, they're willing to trade the entire roster for one franchise quarterback. And guess who that is, folks? Now, don't get me wrong. Deshaun, I mean, Clemson standout, Houston Texans standout, mind you. The kid's a baller. He's a baller. You know, we ran up into Houston. Was that last season we ran up into Houston? Well, not actually. Now it's not last season. 2 seasons ago. Who was our quarterback that wasn't Heineke? It was
Kyle Allen.
Kyle motherfucking Allen. And went in there and we gave Deshaun an L. Yeah, so
and he gave J.J. Watt that juke move.
Oh yeah. The old up and under.
Yes, sir. Ole!
JJ like, what the? So, folks, I don't know if you guys have been on Twitter or, you know, social media as a whole. You probably have, considering the pandemic and all that other crap. There's a lot of Panther fans out there who think it'll be wise if this front office will try to trade. We'll talk about, you know, the scenarios out there, but they thought it'd be a wise idea to trade for one Deshaun Watson. What they want to trade for, Will, we'll get into that. Will, I go to you first, man. Kev's going to pull up some numbers for us, man, and we're really going to dive into this because I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. Deshaun Watson is a stud. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, what's the point of going from a Houston Texan situation to another Houston Texan situation? Well, meaning, you know, you don't necessarily have the pieces to win, but you got a hell of a quarterback. So, Will, what do you think about the scenarios that you're hearing, man? What do you think about this?
I mean, first of all, I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I think very highly of Deshaun Watson, a football player on and off the field. I mean, he's an elite quarterback. And I think the type of trade compensation that Houston will get, if that were to happen, will be unprecedented because of his skills and abilities. But at the same time, that's kind of why I'm hesitant to pull the trigger on it, because what's it going to cost? And not in terms of what the Panthers can offer. What are the competing offers going to be? You got Miami Dolphins. They can offer Tua. They can offer multiple first-round picks in 2021. They can offer more first-round picks in future years or day two picks. You have the New York Jets, who can offer maybe Sam Darnold multiple first-round picks as well in 2021, more in 2022. We just don't have the draft capital to compete with other potential suitors. And to take it a step further, what would it take to compete with those teams? I mean, it's not these, you know, Bleacher Report scenarios that said, oh, just throw in McCaffrey and Teddy in a first and voila, Houston's GM's going to accept that. I mean, you're talking about a GM that just came from the New England Patriots. And you see how that team is run. You think they're going to take on Christian McCaffrey's contract and add it on top of the one they already got with David Johnson for next year? I mean, you think they're going to take on Teddy Bridgewater's $23 million contract instead of a rookie deal from Tua or Sam Darnold? You think they want our eighth pick when they can get a top three pick from Miami or a top two pick from the Jets? Mm. So you're going to really have to get creative, and it's going to require players like DJ Moore, like Brian Burns, like Jeremy Chinn. And I don't think many fans want to get rid of those core pieces. So I just think the compensation package that Carolina would have to put together, one, will not be competitive enough to go against other teams. We lack the draft capital and assets to make such a trade. And two, you're just not going to – it's not going to entice Houston. They got David Johnson. What do they need McCaffrey for? Why, what would two running backs make them better? Mm. You know, so – and, I mean, you look at the New England Patriots, they don't pay running backs. That's what the GM they just hired. They usually run a running back by committee with a lot of guys on favorable contracts and different skill sets. So I just don't see how Carolina can be competitive in offering a package that makes sense for both sides. Now, the wild card, I would say, is the owner. I mean, you're talking about a guy that gave a college coach with no NFL, 1 year as an assistant O-line coach in the NFL, you know, 3 years at Temple, 3 years at Baylor. I mean, he made him the highest paid first-year coach in NFL history and gave him 7 years and the keys to the car. Mm. So, I mean, he has a statue of brass balls on his desk. So, you know, if I think the wild card is if David Tepper really, really wants Deshaun Watson, I'll never – say never. It's always possible when he's in charge. But I just think it kind of goes against Matt Rhule's theme of a patient rebuild. I mean, his, you know, they got this great scouting staff in place. They got eight draft picks this year. At pick eight, they'll be in position to draft their quarterback of the future, or maybe they wait till next year. Mm. But they're just set up very nicely in terms of having this great scouting staff to build patiently, build the right way, build a deep roster with talent, you know, starters and backups that can withstand injuries, that can withstand, you know, guys taking breaks, and we can keep the train moving and have, you know, that's how you sustain success, by building a foundation, being smart with your salary cap, being smart with your draft picks and hitting on those and accumulating talent on cheap contracts. So, you know, man, I mean, I'm not going to complain if Deshaun Watson's a Carolina Panther. I don't know who would with that type of talent. But I just don't see how it makes sense for either side for a trade to work out.
Man, I told you folks, we breaking it down. Breaking it down like saliving food, Jack. Kev, what's up, man?
Man, I'm glad it was on mute, man, because the more we talking about it, the funnier it sounds and get to me, bro, because it's...
Oh, man, I was looking at Twitter, man, I'm like, I can't even respond to that. I'm just going to keep going.
Man, I'm looking at Twitter right now, man.
No, don't do it.
Man. Reading this on Twitter should make them legalize marijuana. Like, woo! Real talk. Like, let's go ahead and, yeah, let's go ahead and make that happen. But yeah, I mean, Will pretty much hit on all the, you know, points that make sense. We're not in a position to compete. First of all, I don't know, Will, if you mentioned it, but Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if it's the Clemson homers in the Panthers fan base that thinks that he wants to come back here to, you know, because he went to college here. Mm-hmm. I mean, that may have some effect for some guys. I just don't see that as that. I see Deshaun Watson want to be in a position where he's going to be in a winning situation, you know, particularly, you know, after what he experienced, you know. So this a thought that, hey, this got to be the only place he want to go, because he went to college 2.5 hours away down 85. No. Look, when you got $160 million that's going to direct deposit in your account, you can go anywhere within these continental United States that you want to, essentially. Mm. Now, when it comes down to, as you mentioned earlier, Tim, the numbers part, mm-hmm. I mean, number wise, could it happen? Yes, because I think I kept running to people who were trying to do their own version of understanding salary cap. Well, it says we do this and this, so yes, it could. Technically, yes, it could happen, but financially, it would make absolutely no sense whatsoever. First of all, let's talk about Deshaun Watson's contract here, folks, that he just signed. When I say just signed, I mean literally the ink probably just finished drying up. You know, like, it was a yeah. So his extension was for 4 years, $156 million. It included a $27 million signing bonus, $110 million total guaranteed.
Yikes.
An average salary of $39 million.
Wow.
Okay. So let's just say, for happen, you know, Tepper pulls out those brass balls, said, damn it, I want Deshaun Watson at all costs. I can't hear him say that, but for the fan base that think that this could happen, what would have to take place. First of all, Let's discuss the 2021 cap numbers. Oh, no. The dead cap alone is $67 million for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, Lord.
Now, his cap hit, oddly enough, is only $15.9 million. That's not bad. Teddy Bridgewater's is 23. Mm. So from that aspect, you know, because essentially Deshaun Watson, this is the quote fifth year option that he's going to be coming up on. So that's why it's that low. But however, with this extension attached to it, that's where all that heavy dead cap comes from, because, mm-hmm. you know, guaranteed at signing was at least $73 million. Okay. And he got $5.4 million of that already. So that's where the remaining $67 million is left, because, folks, you got to realize that when you trade for a player, you trade for his guaranteed money as well. So let's take a look at what the cap hit would be for the remainder of this four-year extension. So after 2021, so mind you, let's say we was able to get rid of Teddy's 23 in this deal. Let's just play along with for the short bus here. But what? So in 2022, Tim, and she lit us loud and clear. Mm-hmm. The cap hit is $40.4 million.
Come on, man.
Now,
come on, man.
We got some fans who would like to keep CMC here. Some want to trade him away. Let's just say CMC just for whatever reason happens to stay here. Guess who money also kicks in 2022 as well? Christian McCaffrey. So you got $40 million for your quarterback, and you're going to have about $21 million for your running back. So you're going to have about nearly one fifth of your salary cap just on two players alone right there.
God almighty.
Hold on. These numbers go well. No, that's...
But wait, there's more.
There's more, folks. So that's 2022. You know, 2023, the cap hit goes up. $42.4 million. Now, let's see who's supposed to be getting paid. Brian Burns, you know, because in 2022, we're not going to be able to keep DJ Moore. So buy DJ Moore, you know.
Yes, he's gone.
You know, he's gone. Yeah. So now, you know, we got, you know, Brian Burns going his money. That's going to be what easily $20-something million easily.
Easy.
Like Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa type money or whatever.
Yeah.
One of them Bosa, bro. Whoever was the older one. I think it's Nick. Bosa's. Yeah.
It's the one in Frisco, ain't it?
Yeah. No, the one in with the Chargers. That's the older one.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, you know, that's what that number would be. Now, if you're thinking that, oh, that's too much, well, there is an out. After the 2024 season, the dead cap would only be $5.4 million. But wait, why would you cut Deshaun Watson if you gave up all this draft capital to acquire him and end up losing out on key core players? So just off the numbers alone, is it doable? Yes. If you find a owner and a GM that's willing to absorb all of this, see, that's what places like what Will said makes sense. Teams like Miami and the New York Jets, they got the salary cap to be able to absorb and still maintain their players. We don't have that here in Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the numbers. It could happen, yes, but does it make it worth it? Hell no. Not for a team that's rebuilding, that's going to hit the reset button and let go all the, you know, franchise, you know, core players over the past, you know, year or so. So, I mean, it just, the numbers by itself, they are technically doable, but we're just pretty much bringing old Deshaun Watson to a team that's probably going to be worse off than the one he left from.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And best believe, his agent going to be looking at the same numbers that I just went and be like, bro, if I know you went to school there, but they don't have. But now, if we head 12 hours down the road down 9 and 5, that place in MIA, you and Tua can swap houses and there ain't no sales tax in the state of Florida, so you can get more of your money.
Oh, man. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And who wouldn't want to have access to South Beach?
I tell you, Will, he's gonna be moving down to you in a minute, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So Will might be the first one to see Deshaun Watson, 18 wheelers, coming in from Houston or whatever. Oh, no. being Biscayne Bay or something, you know what I'm saying? but yeah, folks, I mean the numbers, it could happen, but it financially, for those that understand the salary cap, it just makes no sense to either team. You know, so not on the top, we don't have a draft capital, but we would give up too many of our favorite players that y'all be in altered tears about already.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, so, man, it's
really like Panthers of all fan bases. We just this past decade, we just witnessed Cam Newton step onto the field with Nate Chandler and Byron Bell as his tackles. We saw him go into the playoffs with Kalen Clay Brenton Burson, Russell Shepard, and Moles Frazier as his wide receivers.
The firm.
So why are we going to repeat the same mistake twice? Assume Deshaun's Watson's contract, no matter what they work out with the guaranteed money and all of that, just assume his contract, let core pieces go, and have him try to carry, you know, an incomplete roster. You know, and I think the thing is, the argument I always see is do what you have to do to get your franchise quarterback. There's never enough. But, I mean, he just had a historical season, one of the best seasons of all time at the quarterback position, and they won 4 games. And years prior, they haven't made any AFC championship games. They haven't won any Super Bowls. They're not making the playoffs every year. Was it because of talent? They had J.J. Watt, Justin Reed, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Jadavian Clowney, Tyrann Mathieu. They had good teams.
DJ Reader. Another Clemson boy.
Whitney Merciless, Zach Cunningham, you know, Jonathan Joseph. These were good teams. Laramie Tunsil, one of the best tackles. These are great teams. This is a talented roster. And they didn't get past the divisional round.
Nope.
I mean, after being up 21 at Kansas City.
Oh, boy. Right.
What's going to change here? I mean, it takes more than one quarterback to build sustained success and win games every year. Yes, it is the most important position on the field. I'm not going to deny that. But he still needs help. And I just think that's just – I don't know why people have this mentality that you can just get your quarterback and surround him with anything. You'll automatically add 3-4 wins to your win total if you just swap a quarterback out. You know, and
– it's not just guaranteed neither, man.
Right. So I'm not going to complain if he's a Panther. Who would? I mean, this guy's elite. He's a stud. He's all that in a bag of chips. You know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. All 31 teams, except Kansas City, basically, should want him. But I would be really concerned that, you know, with the resources we'd have to get up to get him, that we could build a good enough roster around him to where he'd come here and actually win football games and win championships. If that's your goal, I mean, your goal is to just watch a quarterback, you know, carry a team and ball out and put up good stats, then that's on you. But if you want to see a team sustain success and win championships, I think you have to build it the right way. You know, draft your rookie quarterback, develop him, have that rookie contract, be smart with your salary cap. So while he's on that rookie contract, you can load your roster up, you know, and add free agents at other positions to support your quarterback instead of having him have to carry the entire roster on his back.
Man, bro. And I hear you, Will. I wouldn't complain at all if we got Deshaun, just from a Deshaun point. But quite frankly, I wouldn't be excited about winning anytime soon. I mean, it'd be virtually impossible. On top of being virtually impossible to actually have a winning team around Deshaun, the numbers, bro. Folks, we do not want to put ourselves in you know, a New Orleans position, because New Orleans is screwed for several years down the road, and they're about to lose their guy. And they're not going to be able to keep whoever they bring in at the quarterback if Drew decides to retire. They're not going to be able to build around him for the next couple of years. Their cap situation is horrible. And quite frankly, you know, why would we put ourselves in a situation where the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to be losing their best player, which is Tom Brady at this point? They're going to be losing him pretty soon. Drew Brees is going to be leaving pretty soon. Why in the world would we not want to build a stout foundation and just plug in a rookie or maybe a young QB along with a mean O-line, a badass running back, and a young defense that's clicking? It's best to build that core and just plug in a young quarterback and let him grow, you know what I'm saying, and maintain and sustain that system around him, as opposed to bringing in a badass quarterback and then trying to hope and beg to actually put pieces in place like we did Cam. I mean, there's no reason in the world we shouldn't have went to consecutive playoffs with Cam Newton if we would have built smartly, if we would have built an O-line and actually got him some help, man. I don't see why we should do that with Deshaun too, and break the bank to do it, not to win games. But yeah, people want what they want.
Yeah, it would be nice if our fan base had the same energy to, you know, rebuild our, you know, in the trenches. Like,
oh my God,
you know, you give me an elite O line and an elite D line, and give me average everywhere else. Watch me work.
Watch it.
It's done happen so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many starting offensive linemen do we currently have under contract?
One. And that's an option year.
Yeah. Our center, right?
Okay. Yeah, Matt Paradis. Yeah.
They pick up his option.
Yeah, they're going to have to. I've had a few people be like, mm-hmm. Well, we could cut Paradis. That would give us some more salary. Okay, so you're going to create a hole.
Come on, man.
That you don't really need, man. Like the stuff that I get in my inbox at weird times of the morning, like, I don't know why y'all not sleep 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I wake up to go use the bathroom, and I just look at my phone, and I see inbox messages. I mean, people got these paragraphs on what I think the Panthers should do. Like, bro, is this what's on your mind at 4 o'clock? Really? You know, but nah, man.
Now, I respect that though, man. You know, they're looking at, you know, they what does Kevin think?
I mean, yeah, don't get wrong. I'm not saying it like in an arrogant way, but it's just like,
what the
bro, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, no. I mean, I get up and get an early hustle.
Yeah. Who the fuck is this?
Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. My bad. Had a biggie moment right there.
Man.
Look, Paradis had a nice, strong bounce back year. Yeah, he had a couple of goofy ass, what the hell moments. But, you know, you hardly heard people, and y'all could correct me if I'm wrong, like, you know, they was dragging this man the 2019 season. You hardly heard people mention a peep about Paradis this year, right?
Yeah, he's been on point all this year. I mean, I think Rule even commended his leadership on the O-line.
Yeah.
He's better than he was last year.
So the thing is, Houston about to hire Eric Bieniemy and put all this to bed anyway.
Word. I hope he gets hired there, man. I do, man. He deserves a chance. I'm sick and tired of that.
You know, but here's my thing about that. If we can go off on a tangent here about the whole Houston. You know, with that type of ownership, like, the only fact that he's being one, it's almost like, okay, we really didn't want you the first time around. But to keep this quarterback here that we like, we're going to bring you in and hire you anyway. It's like, are you really hiring because you want me here? Because I think I shared with you guys in the chat, it was one person that they begged, who turned them down originally, that they begged for a second interview to come back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm like Houston, for me, that's just a toxic situation. I mean, it don't get me wrong, I would love for Airbnb to get a job, but damn, put me in toxic hell, though. You know, I ain't got no first round pick for the next couple of years because of these. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, yeah, he better get similar to a Matt Rule deal, like a good 6-7 years, because you know, you're going to need more than the traditional 5 years that most coaches get to straighten that out, bro.
Absolutely.
Like, you can have all the S's and O's in the world, but, you know, if you ain't got that front office and if you ain't got the draft capital and things of that nature, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Ain't going to work out.
Right.
What really happened is that new GM, Caserio, they just hired, trying to clean up the mess. The owner left them, so now he's trying to, you know, rebuild the bridges and make amends with all the people the owner turned his back to. Hmm. I convince him, look, things are changing that I'm here now. That's the path. We'll see how successful he is. But I do think just look at their roster. If you can just get a coach that can lead men and keep the owner away from it. I mean, they have some good players. But, I mean, culture there just needs to be fixed. And I think that's something Eric Bieniemy can fix. If I think if they hire Eric Bieniemy, back to our topic, I think it's a guarantee probably Deshaun Watson stays because that's the guy he wanted.
Exactly.
Right.
And again, I hope that's a scenario. I mean, Deshaun is a stud. Love the guy. But damn, bro, I want consistency, and we need to build for that.
Yeah, man, you got four quarterbacks in this draft that got talent to be franchise guys.
Mm-hmm.
And who's to say, you know, we don't get a position, an elite position player pick eight? Why, you know, we can get a quarterback in 2022. I mean, people act like this is the only draft for the next 25 years where there'll be a quarterback. I mean,
exactly.
We can take our time and find the right guy. You just don't draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback or just dump your whole roster to go get a quarterback now. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, it was like everybody got that December or that
at Black Friday
birthday, you know, a birthday not till March, and y'all want it now.
Right.
Stay patient and wait. You know, it's a process. It's going to take time. They got to develop and get it right.
Word up. It's like Panther fans are like Black Friday, and they're standing outside of the Walmart ready for it to open.
Right.
Knowing damn good well you can go after Christmas and get it cheaper.
Right.
Calm down.
Yeah, wait till April. You may get your quarterback this April. You may get him next April. But, I mean, I'm sure Matt Rhule and his staff, you know, they're going to watch enough film on the quarterback they got on the roster, and they'll make the right decision.
Right on.
Till then, you know, calm down. And don't bet. Don't make that bet either. I saw Deshaun Watson was the odds-on favorite. To the Panthers were the odds-on favorite. To
Deshaun
Watson. Man, they know y'all some goofies, and they're going to make some money off you guys. They know y'all some damn. Man.
Exactly. They're trying to. They see y'all on Twitter going crazy. They see it. You made Deshaun Watson a Carolina trending. You did all of these Photoshops and jersey swaps. Mm-hmm. They're saying, oh, man, we can make some money off Panther fans. Let's put the odds here and have help generate some revenue because we know we're not going to pay that bet out. That's the odds, offshore odds like that aren't, you know, all they're doing to do is generate revenue. They're trying to adjust them so they can make money off y'all. They're not, you know, reflective of what's actually going to happen. Keep your money in your pocket. Don't make that bet.
Exactly. It's word. Man, get out your feels, folks. Get out your feels.
So, it was all a dream.
It sure was. Hopefully. Oh, man. If we can just get this old line right, bro, I see good things coming for us in the future, man. I really do. But
yeah, man, yeah. I just want to develop a young quarterback and give him what he needs to succeed, which is, you know, good weapons and an old line and a defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's keep our draft picks and let's build this thing up. We don't have to shortcut it.
Right on. Word.
Yeah, leave this thing in the crock pot. Stop trying to throw this team in the damn microwave and stuff.
Right.
That's why I'd be all dry and stuff, man.
Like, work for the Eagles, but look at them now.
Oh, bro. Yikes. That's a scenario. All right, gentlemen, any parting shots?
Don't make that bet.
Keep your money in your damn pocket. Don't make that bet, man. Let it go, man.
I'm trying to take advantage of you.
Yeah, that is not what you need to use your stimulus money for. Do not make that bet.
Hell no.
And I put the $600 on the Panthers getting the you what?
Whack, 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 whack.
Man. I guess my parting shot, always thank all of our Foreman Rush fans. And, you know, y'all probably saw it on some of our little social media accounts. Individually, we got some in the works, folks. So just definitely stay tuned. We're grinding behind the scenes. We're going to shake up social media with what we got coming down the pipe here. So, just stay tuned and follow with us and, you know, we gonna let everybody know that we've arrived and we are forced to contend with when it comes to providing you with in-depth, accurate, logical Panther content. And not just Panther, but football content in general. So just
exactly.
Stay tuned.
Put it in perspective, we got an actual DB coach doing DB breakdowns.
Let that sink in, folks. It's real. Y'all thought this was a game. You think it's a game? All right, Panther fans, man, we appreciate y'all. It's another podcast in the books. Please be on the lookout, man. If you're not following us on social media, you need to get out there and link up, man, because we own it, man. Instagram, Twitter, especially Facebook, YouTube, man. We're gonna have some videos coming out, especially when it gets closer to the draft and the combine, things of that nature. After the Senior Bowl, and speaking of which, next week when we have our podcast, I think we're gonna be breaking down players. Our coaches are working with as we speak. Leading up to the Senior Bowl. So yeah, man, stay tuned, man. If you get, you know, subscribe, like, follow, all that good stuff. Because if you're a Panther fan, you need to get on board with the four man rush. Because this is where it's at going forward. You can say you was there first. Dig it. So whether you listen to this podcast in the morning, afternoon, or evening, you know, I hope you guys are staying clear of that COVID situation. I hope your family's safe. I hope you're safe and healthy. And you know, stay tuned. It's gonna be a crazy year. You thought 2020 was bad. Shit. Be careful, man. Be careful out there. In behalf of Kevin, Will, and myself, we appreciate y'all, man. And as always, keep pounding. She love it, we out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers and do we call me and you love us. The Foreman Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The Foreman Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the Foreman Rush exclusively. Thank you.